As we gather today for worship and continue on our journey of following the star, I invite you to prepare your hearts for God's word by watching this short video and remembering what this journey of Advent is all about. I've been amazed going through this series just how often the scriptures talk about stars, whether it's stars pointing the way or stars being miraculously formed by God or stars radiating God's beauty and might. The scripture is full of references to the heavens and the stars we find there. And today we find the star as a sign of the promise, an image of God's great blessing to us. We're reminded that because of Abraham's faith, that he was given descendants as numerous as the stars in the heaven. Listen to God's promise today found in Hebrews 11, in his invitation to us to follow him with faith. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understood that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to the place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were his heirs with the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she was considered faithful and who had made this promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country that they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. But instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Abraham has such an amazing story, and God did such incredible things through this one man in his faith. Abraham's story is a story of an underdog, just some ordinary, regular guy with the odds stacked against him. He and his wife Sarah were faithful Jews, and they worshiped and served and loved God. And they tried to start a family for many years, and yet that hope and that dream never came true. So they gave up, and they tried to find meaning without a child. They tried to find hope without somebody to care for them and to carry on their family name in their old age. But then at the ripe old age of 75, God showed up with a promise. He said, "Go from your country and your people and your father's house to this land that I will show you. And if you do this, I'll make you into a great nation. All the people on the earth will be blessed through you." Here God was inviting Abraham on a grand adventure. Leave everything you know. Give up all your hopes and dreams and all your plans. And if you do this for me, I'll give you your heart's desire, a child to call your very own. Oh, how Abraham and Sarah's hearts must have lit up after so many years, the hope of a child. "Follow me," God says, "and I'll make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky." So Abraham obeys, And he follows God on this unknown adventure, making great sacrifices, his comfort, his way of life, surrendering his entire life and dreams to God, all in the hope of receiving this great blessing. So Abraham and Sarah packed their bags and they gathered their things and they set off for the land of Canaan, the land God promised to them, and waited to see what God would do next. And then they waited, and they waited some more. And Sarah didn't get pregnant immediately. There wasn't some miraculous child that showed up in her arms and everything was good. In fact, it took so long that Abraham and Sarah started to wonder. They almost gave up hope, trying to conceive a child through a mistress instead. They waited, and they worried, and they hoped and believed. For 25 long years, they waited for God's promise to come true. But then at the ripe old age of 90, Sarah gave birth to a son. The promise of an heir, God's promise, finally was realized. Here God does something impossible in order to bless his people, giving a child to this barren couple, pregnancy during old age. We have a couple of 90-year-old members of our church. What a miracle it would take for God to bless them with a child. But here, Abraham and Sarah were blessed with their greatest desire. God did the impossible for them. Not because they were the most well-off or the most popular, not because they were the most talented or worked the hardest for God. But he blessed them because they believed, because they acted on that faith. Abraham chose to live his life differently. He played by God's rules, not the world's rules. He never let himself get too comfortable here on earth. The scriptures say that he was always longing, always searching for God's heavenly kingdom. He was unsatisfied with the status quo, the heartbreak and pain and uncertainty that this world brings. And he recognized that this place here on earth, this planet we live on, is not our home. That we're just passing through, waiting for something better, waiting for God's heavenly kingdom. And so Abraham chose to live by God's rules and trusted in God's promises, even if they seemed impossible by human standards. He didn't just go through the motions, get up and go to work and come home exhausted and collapse into bed and wake up and repeat every day. He didn't focus on what the world said was important, making more money, getting people to like you, making a name for yourself. No, he focused on what God wanted, what God told him to do. He chose to live a life of faith, believing that God would follow through on his promises if only he would live the life God called him to live. And it's through this obedience that he was blessed. It was through this obedience that God made the greatest desire of his heart come true. We can learn something important from Abraham's story. That faith is more than just a creed. Faith is more than just a list of things that we believe. Something we repeat day by day and then let go of. But that faith is action. It's something that we need to put into practice and allow to change our lives. Abraham didn't just take note of what God was saying and write down the instructions in the margin of his Bible, then continue on with his life as planned. No, Abraham heard the invitation to follow, and then he responded with concrete action. He literally gave up everything in order to follow God. What's more than that is he did this with blind faith, not knowing exactly where the story would lead him. He didn't wait for God to reveal the entire game plan to him. He didn't demand answers to all the questions and worries that he had. He didn't look for a detailed instruction manual of exactly what he needed to do for the next 25 years of his life in order to honor God. He didn't really know what God was up to, except for that first step, pack your bags and go. And that is what Abraham did. It's this thing about faith. It's not really faith if you know how the story is going to end. Hebrews tells us that faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. The assurance that even if something looks impossible, we have no idea how it's going to work out, that if God tells us to do it, that God will follow through on that promise. Abraham was praised because he responded to God's unseen promise, and he trusted that God would be true to his word. He responded bravely by taking that first step. There's a reason why we often refer to faith as blind faith, because we rarely know where the journey is going to take us when we start off and we first hear God's call. When we hear that nudge to go talk to a coworker who looks down, or that little voice in our head that says we should go lend a helping hand to a stranger. When we feel that urge to pick up the phone and talk to somebody you haven't talked to in a while. These are all God's invitations to follow him. We don't know where they're going to lead. We don't always get to see the fruit of our labor, the impact of our obedience. But we always get to experience the blessings of God through our faithfulness to him. This is how we, too, can experience God's abundance, by trusting in his promises and responding to his call to follow. There's nothing quite like being on the front lines of the kingdom of God, having a first row seat to what God is up to in this world. We are blessed seeing God at work and being a part of that work. God's blessings come in many forms, but I, for one, have never known anything so sweet as being a part of God's work and seeing the difference that I can make when I say yes to God's calling. It's not always easy to follow God when he calls. He calls us to difficult things. He calls us to unknown futures. We don't always know if we have what it takes in order to follow through with God's invitation. We wonder if we really can make a difference, little old us. But here's the amazing part. Through faith, we can do incredible things. God doesn't care how special or talented or gifted we might be. What he cares about is that we're willing, and he'll find a way to make the rest happen. That's what faith is all about, seeing an impossible task before us and choosing to take that first step anyway, trusting that the path will be secure before us. Abraham trusted in God's word, and he was obedient to God's plan. And that's what delighted God and brought joy to our Heavenly Father. It's why God chose to bless Abraham so richly, making his descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. And that's what God wants from us as well. Not miracles or great results or amazing talent, but faith. God calls us to follow him on surprising journeys. Like Abraham, we don't always know where those destinations will take us. But we are invited to take that first step and to believe. We're invited to fly blind and to trust that God will catch us. It's scary and it's dangerous and it's unknown, but it's the journey of a lifetime. One pastor had this great story of what it's like to fly blind and to have faith in God even when you have no idea what's going on. He tells of his honeymoon, where him and his new bride were flying to El Paso, Texas, to spend a week in their aunt's cabin, just enjoying the gift of marriage. But on the day of their flight, there was a huge snowstorm in El Paso, Texas, and they received 22 inches of snow. So their flight was redirected to Phoenix. But immediately upon touching down in Phoenix, they found out that the snow had stopped, so they went back up in the air and headed back to Texas. But of course, by the time they got there again, the storm had kicked up again, and there was white flurry all around, and they couldn't see anything. that there was nothing left to do but land the plane. The pilot told them that they would be landing in almost zero visibility, that they would be trusting their instruments to guide them entirely, not their sight, that they would be literally flying blind. It's not what you want to hear when you're on your airplane. They're coming in for the landing, and the passengers and pilot alike could see nothing but white. And the passengers had no idea where the ground was, how far away they were, which direction the runway was in. They had to completely trust the pilot and the instruments of the plane to get them home safely. And the last second, the snow parted and the runway appeared, and they landed safe and sound, but not by sight, only guided by these instruments that led the way. The Christian journey is a lot like flying blind, but instead of instruments guiding us, we have the divine direction of our Heavenly Father. We don't always know what's going on. We might not be able to see right from left, but we have to trust the sovereign direction of God. The twists and turns of this life may tempt us on paths unknown, but faith keeps our eyes firmly planted on Jesus, trusting that God will lead the way, even if the path before us is unknown. That's why we call it blind faith, because sometimes we have to take a step out in the dark, unable to see what's before us, and to trust that the path before us is secure, believing that God will pave the way for us, leading us on his paths of righteousness. It may be scary. We might not always see what lays in front of us, but God beckons us forward anyway. Really, that's what faith is all about, believing in God's unseen promises and responding with action. When we do this, when we act with faith and follow God faithfully wherever he leads, we too can experience his abundant blessings. Abraham followed the star of God's promise. He was blessed with heirs more numerous than he could count. The wise men followed the Christ star that led them to the infant king and transformed their lives forever. We too can know this blessing. All we have to do is follow the light of Christ and to believe in his promise. Will you follow God today? Let us pray. God, I thank you that you give us signs of what you're doing in this world, that you never leave us blind. God, I ask that you would give us courage to follow you wherever you call, that you would build up our faith so we could trust in your promises, trust in your word, and respond with action that pleases you in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.